Business Casual is a new podcast by Morning Brew that makes business news enjoyable, relatable, and dare I say, fun. I interview the biggest names in business, covering topics like how technology is changing the fitness industry and the economics of influencer marketing. It's the business podcast that makes you smarter and makes you laugh. Listen to Business Casual wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, June 25th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. It's a pandemic and it's an election year. If you're a politician, that means your digital strategy is your best shot at reaching voters. But many of the big social media platforms have been coming under pressure to moderate political content. And now President Trump's campaign is looking for other ways to connect with people. Our reporter Emily Glazer will explain how after these headlines. The House Committee on Oversight and Reform says it's opened an investigation into a data broker called Ventel. Ventel is accused of pulling location data from millions of U.S. mobile phones and selling that data to law enforcement. We reported earlier this year that the Department of Homeland Security used Ventel to track illegal border crossings and that the company has contracts with other government agencies as well. Tesla vehicles scored the worst among major automakers, according to a new survey of customers. In its first appearance in the annual J.D. Power survey, Tesla vehicles were found to have problems with wind noise, paint quality, and other parts, and at a higher rate than other brands. Tesla didn't respond to a request for comment, but it has brushed aside complaints about quality in the past, pointing to its own internal data. And Apple says it's closing 7 stores around Houston, Texas because of concerns over the coronavirus. The announcement follows nearly a dozen closures of Apple stores last week in states where cases of the virus have been climbing. Up next, why the Trump campaign has been weighing alternatives to the big social media platforms. That's after the break.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Social media companies and political campaigns, it's a kind of love-hate relationship, at least a very challenging one. Facebook and Twitter have been a huge part of President Trump's campaign strategy, but recently, as the sites have come under pressure to moderate political content, they've been butting heads. And now, Trump campaign officials are thinking about Plan B. Our tech reporter, Emily Glazer, has been looking into this, and she joins us now. Hey, Emily, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Emily, let's start with the big picture. Why are big social media companies like Twitter and Facebook so important to the Trump campaign?
The Trump campaign is one of the most digital savvy presidential campaigns we've ever seen. And they especially use Facebook to raise money, to engage with supporters, and to find new potential voters. Twitter is also a hugely important platform and one of the main ways that President Trump gets his thoughts and his statements and what he's doing out in the public sphere. And what we've seen in the last week or two especially is that Twitter and Facebook are in different ways limiting or blocking different types of Trump or Trump campaign content that they say violates their policies, many of which are newer.
Yeah, let's talk about these policies. What have they been doing and what are the policies that they say that the campaign has been violating?
Yeah, so there's quite a bit. I'm going to try my best to summarize here because like you mentioned, this has been a little bit of a love-hate relationship and this kind of tangle for several months now. So we can go back to late last year when a number of different tech companies, including Twitter, Facebook, and Google, late last year into early this year, announced that they were changing their political ad policies. Twitter just decided they were pretty much not doing most political ads anymore. Google limited theirs quite a bit. Facebook announced that it would enable users to turn off political ads if they wanted to. And advertising is a really big way to raise money. Let's fast forward a little bit. What we've seen more recently is that Twitter has started labeling certain tweets by President Trump. One was where there was a doctored video, so it labeled it manipulated media. It also labeled a tweet just earlier this week. It violated its policy against abusive behavior. It was a tweet where Trump condemned an autonomous zone in Washington, Washington, D.C., that he said would be met with, quote, serious force. So Twitter is really upping the amount of times that it is limiting or labeling Trump tweets. To be sure, most of these tweets, there are tens of thousands of them that Trump puts out. He's got more than 80 million Twitter followers. Most of them do go through. And on the Facebook side, what we saw that really changed things up was last week, Facebook took down Trump campaign ads and posts that used a symbol that Nazis had used to designate political prisoners in concentration camps decades ago. And Facebook said that it does not allow groups to use hate group symbols unless it gives any kind of appropriate context condemning that. So we've seen a lot of these actions recently, and the Trump campaign is not happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook has been pretty lenient up until now, so this seems to have come as a pretty big surprise to the campaign. How has that decision changed their calculation in terms of how they're using Facebook, and are they considering any other alternatives?
Well, from the sources that I and myself and Michael Bender spoke with, our White House reporter, the Trump campaign was really shocked when Facebook took down the ads and posts last week. It really put into a completely different drive efforts that they've been loosely talking about in terms of alternative options. The problem is you really can't replicate the reach of Facebook and the scale that it has, certainly on the advertising side, and Twitter, though, to a lesser extent. So from our reporting, we've heard that the Trump campaign is considering moving to a lesser known platform. One is Parler, spelled P-A-R-L-E-R, which is, according to its website, all about free expression and free speech. The Trump campaign has also been talking about boosting its campaign app, where it owns the distribution, it owns the content, and it doesn't have to be worried about social media giants potentially blocking or limiting what they're trying to get out.
So I guess the question is, how are social media companies reacting to that potential? I mean, it's not just that Trump posts or any of the politicians post on Twitter. They're also spending money there in ad revenue on Facebook, for example, not on Twitter, but on Facebook. So what are they saying about the potential of moving off of their platform?
Well, let's be clear. It doesn't sound like the Trump campaign is moving off of Facebook anytime soon. They still need Facebook. They've spent close to $20 million on Facebook advertising, and that's just since January of this year. It's tens of millions if you look at the past couple of years. And they really still need Facebook to reach new potential donors, engage with supporters, and try to find new voters as well. But in terms of Twitter, what we saw last week was that Brad Parscale, Trump's campaign manager, and Dan Scavino, who runs social media at the White House and sometimes operates Trump's Twitter account, were both posting about Parler. You know, Brad Parscale wrote, "Hey, Twitter, your days are numbered," and linked to a post from him on the other site. Dan Scavino also tweeted a link to his own Parler post and tagged the platform. So they're certainly getting a little bit more public about threatening to move off of Twitter, at least right now.
For a long time, conservative groups have said that there is a bias against them on social media, and we've been talking about this. Just to be clear, these red flags that are going, or these flags that are going up on Trump's post, they aren't specifically about him or his campaign, right?
Correct. The policies that are being violated are wholesale across the platform. So in the case of Facebook taking down ads or content, it was related to using a hate group symbol without context. And Facebook says that they have taken down other content before for using hate group symbols like swastikas that completely unrelated to the Trump campaign. Twitter also has labeled or limited tweets for violating its policies. Again, not necessarily the Trump campaign. You know, one of the things that Facebook's head of communications and policy, Nick Clegg, said on a call with reporters last week that I found pretty interesting. I'm going to just read this out loud. He said, quote, "The Trump administration is demanding that we stop or reduce censoring content and that we fact check less materials. Civil rights groups and the Biden campaign are demanding that we censor and or fact check more. Policymakers are just going to have to decide what rules they want for campaigns and for the role of the internet, and particularly at times of electoral campaigns," end quote. We've got the right saying one thing, the left saying another thing. We've got companies saying something else. And at the end of the day, there just aren't consistent rules, and it seems like no one will be happy.
And this is all kind of happening at the same time that the administration has been taking a closer look at old legislation that really protected the internet companies, including social media companies, from being responsible for the content on their platforms. How is that kind of political conversation playing a role here?
Absolutely. Like beneath all of this, or perhaps on top of all of this, is what kind of regulations exist. And right now, it's not a whole lot. I spoke with a Boston University professor, Marshall Van Alstyne, who researches social media firms' free speech policies. He said there really, while there is some legislation, there isn't a whole lot. And eventually, what we're seeing here is that the social media platforms are flooding users with information, but really push the responsibility onto users to decide what is true and what is not. And each social media platform, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, which is owned by Google, they have created their own rules that are specific to their own companies and keep updating them depending on what they're seeing happening in the political space, especially. And so there really isn't a consistent way to judge and to regulate what's going on right now, which is part of the problem.
Our reporter, Emily Glazer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Before we go, tech companies have been announcing sweeping changes in response to the Black Lives Matter protests. We know a lot of our listeners work in tech, so we want to hear how the changes are impacting you. How has your company addressed protests? Have they implemented new diversity and inclusion policies? And what changes do you still want to see? We left the number in the description, so call us and let us know. You can tell us your stories, and we may include them on the show. And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.